Okay, we're ready. Okay, this is the Board of Adjustment meeting. Can we have a roll call?
Falk?
Here.
How?
Here.
Stelk?
Here.
Malaga?
Here.
I didn't mention it, but it's September 8th. Okay, item two, if everybody wants to follow along, there's an agenda in the back on the podium there, so you can, if you don't have one, you can pick one up. Item two is a review of the board procedures. This is the Board of Adjustment. We're a five-member board. We're appointed by the mayor, and it's our responsibility to interpret the city zoning ordinances as they apply to special uses and variances. Applications are made to the city staff. The staff, in turn, sends them to each of the members. Then it's each member's responsibility to go out to the site in question, review the site, and then come prepared to the public hearing to make our final decision. We allow objectors to speak. We allow the applicants to speak. And if you want to speak, I'd ask that you go to the podium in the back where we have the microphone so we can properly record this meeting. Let's see, I guess that's about it. If you have any questions. Okay, if not, we'll continue on. Item three, the board to review and approve the minutes of the meeting of July 14th, 2011.
Motion to approve. Second.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the meeting of July 14th. It's been seconded. Is there any discussion? Okay, all in favor of approving, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. The motion's carried to approve the minutes of the 14th of July. Item four, the board to hold a public hearing on the following items. And I see we have a pretty full agenda here. So we'll go ahead and get started with case A. This is case 11-046. This is at 3806 Rolling Hills Drive in R2 District. A request for a variance to allow a six-foot-high fence and a swimming pool in a required front yard submitted by John Crump. Do we have an affidavit of publication?
Yes, we do.
Okay, and you have a staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The site is located at the intersection of Rolling Hills Drive and Tanglefoot Road, just east of the intersection of Tanglefoot and Utica Ridge Road, and is outlined on the graphic before you in yellow. The applicant currently has a fence surrounding the rear yard, which is being displayed with the thinner yellow line on the graphic, and a above-ground swimming pool in the rear yard. I would point out to you that the actual location of the current swimming pool, the current location of the swimming pool, is more like in this area here, right up against the fence. I was unable to get the graphic to change once I had done that. So, however, the request before you is to extend that six-foot fence to where the broader yellow line is, and to move the above-ground pool approximately into the area that's being shown for the pool. This lot does have the double front yard effect, which causes a rather narrow rear yard. That narrow rear yard is amplified by the fact that there is a berm which occupies a significant portion of that rear yard and aggravates the narrowness situation for the yard. The applicant is anticipating the second phase of the Tanglefoot Lane improvement, feels that the widening of the roadway and the adding of the recreational trail along the site of his yard could have an adverse impact on him for the use of his property, and thus is the request for the six-foot fence. Also, the narrowness of the rear yard is causing it difficult for the usage of the pool, and he would like to someday place a deck around that pool, and it would be unable to do so as it's configured today. Regarding the six-foot-high fence, the board has had these requests previously along Tanglefoot Lane and other four-lane busier roadways. Here are examples of six-foot fences in the Danbury Court area, very close to this request, along Devil's Glen Road by the United States Post Office, and again on Tanglefoot by Norwich, which is again somewhat close to where the applicant is making his request. You've been supplied, and I have taken into the official record two letters. One was an anonymous letter objecting to the request, and then I also received a letter from a Mr. Robert Schmidt supporting the request. Again, you have both of those letters at your respective positions up there. Staff would point out that there really are two separate issues for your consideration here this evening. One, the fence within a front yard, and the other one would be the request for a pool within a front yard. Those are two entirely different sections of the code and have to be dealt with separately. I believe that summarizes the case. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Is the applicant here and wishing to make any comments?
As he expressed, the reason the pool is up against that thinner line of the fence is because there's not enough room behind my house, the way that house was built back in the 70s, to put the pool to keep the, as far as the code, you know, to keep so many feet away from the neighbor's property and to stay so many feet away from my home. And like I said, the pool is right against that fence, so when I walk out my rear slider, I walk into the pool. The pool is simply, it's a inexpensive Walmart pool, 4 foot high, 16 foot round. It's something that comes up and is taken down every year. I do want to, if we're allowed to fence out like the request is and to move the pool, I would like to build a, get the permits to build a nice deck there, you know, up against the pool. And we also have plans on building a, like a Three Seasons room someday, right off the back of the house, a small room. So, but obviously right now with where the pool is sitting, there's no way to do that. And we're concerned about the construction and everything that's going to be taking place. I believe it was in 2 years that you guys have scheduled as far as putting in that bike path. So we would like to extend the fence out off the corner. And like I said, the pool is put up and taken down every year. But I would, of course, have to get a permit, which I would apply for a deck over on that. Well, I consider it my side yard, but the city council and you guys decided, you know, that's a front yard.
Technically, yeah.
So technically. So, and, you know, getting the variance as far as what's shown there, I most likely I'm not going to go all the way up to the front of my home with that fence, but it was recommended to me to, you know, get the variance that far. That way there's no question, you know, if I'm 2 foot back towards the where it says new pool, you know, or 3 foot, there's no question there as far as where the fence is placed. But it was recommended me to apply to bring it all the way for the variance to come all the way to the end, which that's not really part of my plan, but that's what was advised to me, so that's, you know, what I'm doing. Like I said, it's not a permanent pool, a metal-sided pool or anything. It's a soft-sided pool. The fence that I've put up is 6 foot white vinyl fence. I've got probably close to $3,000 in what I've done so far just in materials. And I'm probably going to be adding another $2,000 worth of materials, $1,500 worth of materials to finish off what I want to do, you know, as far as coming out. So it is a decorative type fence. It's a fence I believe it's going to last several years, you know, and so.
All right. Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor of or in opposition?
I'm Kelly, and I live to the the left of John on Rolling Hills, and my husband and I have no objections to it at all, because his backyard's small and...
Where is your house again?
Right next to his.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
They keep their yard nice, their house nice. I mean, I just came to say we have no problem with it at all.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else?
My name is Charles Snyder. I live on the corner of Rolling Hills and Pine Hill on the southeast corner. I've lived there since 1969. I was there before the house was ever built. Normally, during the time that the house has been there, the maintenance around it has been good. There was a few years when they rented it out where there was a maintenance problem. But since John and his wife moved in, they've trimmed bushes, they've cut the grass, they do everything, and it doesn't seem to be any type of problem here at all, and I can't imagine them doing anything that's going to bring down the value of anyone's property. What they've done so far, I think, would increase it as compared to what it was a few years ago. So I don't have any, I'm one of his neighbors, and I don't have any objection at all to what he wants to do.
All right. Thank you. Anyone else?
I'm Michelle Crump. I'm John's wife. And I guess I just want to say that it's never been an option to live in Davenport. I love the Quad City area, but my favorite's always been Bettendorf. And I've always lived in Bettendorf since I have been out on my own. I bought my first house on 16th Street, and when we were looking for this house, we fell in love with it. But we had plans for the backyard. But of course, we're very limited. And since we got the pool, we knew that there was no other option to be able to have it, that we would have to have some kind of a backyard. And I have spoken to the owners of the house that's right behind us, which is the one to the left in the picture. And I know it's hearsay. I work at Lane and Waterman, but. Anyway, I have talked to them. They're a family, and they have a child. And they told me that when they moved into their house, it already had a fence, and if they hadn't had a fence, that they would have put a fence up too. And they know we're trying to start a family. And so we want the fence for that, especially. But I had no idea until he went to file for this variance that we were going to have a bike path next to our yard. And I would really like to not have people looking constantly when I'm out playing with my kids someday, because you'll probably get a lot more traffic on it than we do right now. Right now we just get your average joggers, but a bike path would be a lot more traffic. So that's the reason why we would love to have the fence to finish off our yard and be able to feel like we have a yard finally. And love the house, have no desire to ever leave Bettendorf. And I wanted to let you know that. John's from Muscatine, and I made him move here when we met. So we met on a Christian website. And I told him it wasn't an option. So anyway, I just wanted to make sure I tell you that.
All right, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, any comments from the board?
I have a concern that the fence is so close to the sidewalk. What would be the setback from that sidewalk, John? I'm asking city staff.
John Sonson.
The request is to come out
to the sidewalk.
To the property line.
Does it need to go
routinely
that
property lines are about a foot behind the sidewalk, but that's just a generalization. I don't know that for a fact on this lot.
John, on that same subject, when they put the bike trail in, what's going to change on that? Is that going to change the easement? Are they going to lose property because of it?
No,
there's no more property acquisition. It is going to be widened, I believe, to 10 feet, but the widening is going to come south.
Okay.
So the line that's adjacent to their property will remain the same. It'll just widen on down to the south.
Yeah.
John, I have a question. As I look at the examples that you've offered as other
six-foot fences in front yards.
Yes.
None of them, they appear to be decidedly different to me in that none of them actually adjoin another neighbor's entry or their real, for practical purposes, front yard. I know we have technical front yards, but for practical purposes, these are all in people's practical backyards.
I think that's accurate.
This particular one is in someone's practical front yard. The pool is going to be visible from their, you know, front yard. And do we have precedent for that?
I could not find any precedents for that, no. Your point's well taken. This lot is elevated, I would say, considerably above the applicant's lot. No, I could not find any case where the board has approved a pool in a front yard. There have been approvals for six-foot fences in front yards. Your observation of the examples I pointed out, I think, are very accurate. There have been corner lots that have received it as well, but I can't specifically answer your question if it's been in somebody else's immediate front yard. Okay.
I just noticed that, to me, there was a disparity between what was being shown as a like example.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I failed to see that, too.
John,
those are
question.
Through lots, or what you're pointing out. This example are through lots. Those are through lots. Well, this is a actual corner lot, but the fence is not in somebody else's real front, as you pointed out, and those are through lots.
Those don't have driveways coming out at a neighbor either to back out and to a busy street.
Fair enough. I think that's a correct observation.
John, I guess this may be our first pool question in front of me anyway. What is the ordinance, you know, when do you have to get permission from the city as regards to pool size? You know, obviously it's not a wading pool. So what is it a 4-foot pool?
If it's got 18 inches of water, it's considered that it falls under our definition as a pool. Pools are specifically mentioned in acceptable encroachments in only the rear yard section. There's a specific section of the code that says if it's not mentioned, it's not allowed. So as it talks about encroachments in front yards, if it's not mentioned, it's not allowed. When it talks about allowable encroachments in side yards, if it's not mentioned, it's not allowed. The only place in the code that it addresses pools is for rear yard obstructions.
So even if it's temporary structure, it's still, but it's over 18 inches, it requires a special use, is what you're saying to me.
No,
it's in the side yard.
No special use.
Variance. Or a variance,
no.
I mean.
It would be a variance if it were in a yard other than a rear yard, a true rear yard.
And just to clarify that too, our ordinance requires a permit for pools that have more than 18 inches of water.
And has the fence, isn't it a law for that you have to have a 6-foot fence around a pool?
New code requires a 4-foot high fence with a lockmore gate.
So even with a 16-foot, 4-foot pool, you need to put a fence around it.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A minimum of a 4-foot fence.
Yeah.
Which is pretty easy to scale.
And now 4-foot fences are allowed in front yards. So that bold line, if it were a 4-foot fence, would be allowed by code now.
Yeah.
Well, it certainly is. The applicant has a challenge with the backyard as it is configured. As you noted, John, it's very obvious that the neighbor to the left sits considerably higher, and so there will be, he'll be looking down into that that backyard and that pool area, even with a 6-foot fence, and so there's going to be some visual intrusion there. when the applicant purchased the yard, purchased the property, obviously they knew about all this stuff and recognized that they were going to be backyard challenged. So I'm not so sure I could classify this as a hardship. I do feel like it'd be good to try to support a pool if you've got a growing family, and I could see the value of a pool, and it'd be good if we can try to figure out a way to accommodate them. The one thing that really I'm somewhat firm on is I've been taking the position since I've been on the board that I really am against putting large fences, 6 foot in this case, in this example, up against sidewalks. It creates precedents across the city. It creates a barrier looking property that when you're sitting right up against the fist, against the sidewalk, it's not visually attractive to me. I've actually rode my bicycle on that sidewalk a number of occasions on the few properties that do have a fence right up to the sidewalk. It's noticeable and it's not very attractive to me. And so my concern is if I voted to approve the applicant's request to put a 6 foot fence up against the sidewalk, it's not only, to me, it's going to start, it could start and likely start a precedence all along that street, especially as we add the bike paths in there. Everybody's going to want that privacy because of the bike path. And so I could see myself being more flexible if we could move the fence away from the sidewalk. Ideally, what we've been trying to do on 18th Street and Tanglefoot and other places is try to push for a 10-foot setback on the fence. That's where my head is. I'm not quite sure what that does to the pool, the 16-foot pool. And so maybe I'm not so locked in. It has to be 10-foot, but I'm against putting the fence up against the sidewalk, the pool. Let's see if we can work it in.
I'd like to see either a 4 or 5 foot setback from that sidewalk at least.
I have a question. Has the city done any assessment of the potential impact of safety? That's fairly close to an intersection.
The code specifically addresses that with a 35-foot vision triangle.
Okay.
Yes, I applied the vision triangle of the fence. Given the current location is nowhere near the vision triangle.
I mean the proposed location.
Yes, the proposed location.
All right.
And if it's pushed back, given the negotiations with the board, it would be even farther away from that vision triangle.
Okay. Yes, would you like to make another comment?
Yes, I would. I got a letter here, and I would assume that John has in his computer there. Most recently, there was a 6-foot fence approved by your board on Devil's Glen Road at 3493, and it is, I believe, right on the sidewalk, and that was in July of 2010, and there was one put up at 3498 Field Site Drive, and that was approved in April of 2011. And there are 6 foot fences right on the sidewalk. Now, I would, I wasn't going to put it directly on the sidewalk. I mean, obviously, it would probably look a little nicer to stay back a foot, or so. And that's what the plan was, and I would be more than happy to put my pool back farther, but according to the city code, I couldn't go back farther, like towards my garage, where the yard narrows because it was so close to my house. I couldn't put the pool back there. So that's why we came up with this plan.
We have an electrical wire that goes across the house too, right across the backyard. You can't see it in the photo. So there's no way we can put the pool the other direction. We wanted to do that.
There was a cable wire running there too, and I went and paid to have that buried, and that's been dropped and buried under the ground. Obviously, the electric wire is, would be very, very expensive to have that buried underground. Plus, every other home in that area has overhead power. You know, I don't think anybody has underground power coming to their home there in that area.
John, I know that depiction on the screen right now is probably not a science here, but would there be 10 feet between the sidewalk and where the pool is depicted right now? It looks to me like there is.
Well, there's real close to where that pool is at, where it says new fence, new pool, there is a tree there. Obviously, I don't, you know, really want to cut down trees because I think they add to the beauty of this property in the city. But, you know, I guess that would be an option, is to take that tree and have it removed.
Where's the tree located at, from the sidewalk?
No, the tree is probably
Right in the center of the pool.
We have a tree right here, and then we have a tree right over here on the corner.
So,
So
where would you put the pool, given the fact that?
Right here. I want to bump the fence back, and I don't want it off the corner.
Can it be moved back off the main sidewalk there? Could you move it back 4 or 5 feet? Is there enough room for that?
Well, the fire hydrant's back farther. That's something too, you know, I don't want to be near the fire hydrant.
John, I would guess that there's 40 feet between the house and the sidewalk. Would that be an unfair assumption?
It's probably a 25-foot setback in that area there. That would be my estimation, that this is 25 feet.
25, okay.
My fence too, if I can approach the screen and show you, it doesn't run this thin line here. The fence, I wanted to run the fence right here. That's not really the way the fence is. The city wanted it done from here straight back. So the fence is actually running this way. It's not actually running.
You mean like that?
Yeah, but it's running like this.
Sure.
Up to the corner, so it's not actually, you know, running down, and it limits the space. Like I said, originally I had drew the marking on the ground with paint, marked a circle, a 16-foot circle. The city came out and looked at it and said that it wouldn't work because it was too close to my house. I was staying back enough off the neighbor's property. This pool is only like 5,100 gallons of water. It's not a huge pool. Like I said, it's an Intex pool. It's soft-sided. It's got metal supports on it that are power-coated. It's something that comes up and goes down. It's not like a permanent pool that I would be installing. And, you know, like I said, what I would want to do was the fence would probably come about right here, straight down, and then go up. Now, I know that this property, because I just had this surveyed when we bought the property, and I know the pin is exposed once here and one sets in. So what I was going to do is actually come in, I would guess, somewhere between 18 inches and 2 feet, and probably make a flower bed or a mulch bed against that fence, you know, so it looks nice to dress that edge of it up. I would not put, especially you guys having, you know, your construction going to be up there tearing up that sidewalk, putting a 10-foot bike path in right here. I wouldn't be going right on the line. I would be setting back some. I would guess 18 inches to 24 inches.
And where is the existing fence today?
Existing fence runs, off the back corner of my house here, goes up, and then comes down all the way down through here, and then it comes straight.
That piece right there where your finger's at on the north side, is that going to stay?
This piece?
Right.
No. What it would be doing would be allow me to have a little bit larger yard coming off here, because like I said, we've got plans to build a small addition, which I've already talked to the city about, and you know, as long as I stay so many feet back off of the property, you know, we're going to put a small room on here. And that's, you know, and it's in our 5-year plan.
like I said, that there would be a deck here. I'd be putting the pool, and then I was going to build a deck around that pool area.
So you, at that time, it'd become a permanent pool year-round?
No.
Do you have a deck built around it?
Come down and go down.
Even with a deck around it?
Even with, yeah, the deck would stay there, but the pool would not be kept up. I mean, 2 years from now, I may decide I don't even want a pool, and just we'll just have a deck, you know, out back there. Because eventually, when this is built on, then that deck, you know, of course, applying for the permits like I've done on all my other permits, so if you put the pool in, I would like to take that deck and attach it to this, you know, part of the addition that's going to be done someday.
So what would you say if I'm inclined that when you remove that north fence where your finger was?
This fence?
Correct.
Okay.
That we move you off the sidewalk on your south fence, preferably 10 feet, but maybe 6 feet, and then you can either leave the pool where it is right now, or you could move it further north. Preferably 10. And everybody wants a yard, larger backyard or yard space, so that's not going to sell with me, but I do want to try to see if I can make something work for you so you can accomplish your goals here. So I'm trying to find the middle ground here.
Along Devil's Glen Road, there's no driveways backing out onto Devil's Glen Road, and this does have that, and that fence could be a hazard to the neighbor next door in the future, and we don't want to cause a problem. That's why I'm concerned about the sidewalk, or the fence being back from the sidewalk somewhat.
And I think David makes an excellent point as well that, you know, around the city, we haven't, this exact configuration, we haven't dealt with this kind of configuration before. And I, like I said, I'm very concerned about what we start here tonight along Tanglefoot, inadvertently, but in good intent, but it'll start something that will be hard-pressed to keep it under control.
Right. And I figured that, you know, if there was any objection there, that they would either come or send a letter in, you know, to the city.
Mm-hmm. In the future, there could be a different resident there also, so that could cause a problem. So,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
In the past, I'm a great supporter of people using their own property as to their best advantage. So I'm like him. I'd like to see us work out something that would work for the city and work for him. Is this one of those times when maybe we ought to meet at the site? In lieu of what we have in front of us tonight and the fact that we have so many divergent ideas, I hesitate to call that out, but I mean in lieu of the fact that we have 8 items on the agenda and we don't seem to be really making any headway with the discussion of this one.
Let me ask a question to answer your question, David, is do the board members here is there any heartburn with a pool, if we can find the right location for it?
Not to me. Setback.
I have no problem with a pool as long as it's in an appropriate place.
Correct. If we can find the right location for it. So I'd make a, see like then see if this fits with you. If the applicant would be willing to move the fence off the sidewalk some amount of feet, and like I said, I prefer 10 feet, but I can probably live with 6 feet. And then he can place the pool wherever he wants to, north of the fence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would that set with you? Well, I think you got a problem with a tree regardless. And you're going to have to probably go east, or you're going to have a messy pool.
Would there be, could we meet at like 4 feet off the sidewalk? And the reason I'm saying that is because I want to landscape up against that fence, you know, to make it look real nice for the city. And I don't necessarily want grass there. You know, when we start talking 6-8 feet, it's going to be grass. I would rather put a flower bed in there and dress that up.
Perhaps Dave has a point with all the different suggestions and recommendations and ideas.
I'll be very honest with you, sir. I have a really hard time supporting and voting for a hypothetical.
Okay.
We don't know where the tree is. We don't know where the pool would go. We don't really know where you want to put the fence based on the exhibit. I have a really hard time supporting a variance from what we know to what we don't know.
I agree. I'm not thrilled with the current proposal, that's for sure.
Now, however, I'll try to convince my fellow board members, if you're willing to go to 10 feet, to do it tonight.
10 feet?
Sounds like a TV program, a reality show here,
yeah.
But...
Well, I'd be willing to go maybe 10 feet.
So.
I don't know how much... I mean, without going on measuring it, unless John can give us an exact measurement,
I think city staff should go look at this and do some measurement and come up with an option for us to discuss and defer this till next meeting.
I applied for this.
We used to meet years ago on the board that actually went to the site in question and
for the decision.
For the decision.
And then about 5 years ago, you changed that to do it before the meeting.
That hasn't been all bad, but there are probably some cases that. Might warrant this.
I think this is one of them.
John, is the ordinance give you a lot more flexibility if the fence, the front yard or side yard setback is 10 feet off? It's allowable, as I recall?
No. The board has set some circumstances in previous approvals. And I heard during the discussion this evening, two of those approvals recently that were cited here tonight were on Devil's Glen Road, and indeed you did set circumstances on those, and both of those are, I think one's 10 foot back from the property line adjacent to Devil's Glen, and the other's 15 foot back.
Yeah.
I believe they had some berming and landscaping as well.
And neither of those fences were visible from anybody else's, from their next door neighbor's front door.
Yeah.
None of them cut into their next door neighbor's front yard.
Correct.
So you understand our reservations, and like I said, if we could, whether tonight or we go out and visit the site or you go out and measure, if we could get in the 10-foot area, I think it's going to be a much easier sell with a board than something considerably less than 10 feet.
Do you know, John, can you tell me how far that is from the house? Is it a 25-foot setback, or is that what you think from here?
Probably.
That's the routine setback in this area, is 25-foot setback, so you could judge that accordingly.
It would mean that the pool would probably be getting close to where your north fence that we talked about removing is right now.
That would be my best guess, but
it'll
no, I didn't go out and measure this.
Yeah.
Is it possible to have the board meet at the property? I mean...
Well, it's up to the board, I guess, if you want to...
I applied for this 2 months ago, but I guess there was no meeting last time.
Right. Yeah, we lacked a quorum at our last month's meeting.
Yeah.
I'm agreeable to that. I
don't have a problem meeting there.
Agreeable to it.
But it wouldn't be decided until the next meeting.
You're probably not going to use the pool anymore this year.
No.
So maybe there's some time here.
Taken down this week.
Yeah.
It's coming down.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to get started with the fence before we get into the pool weather.
For me only, if you could come off 10 feet, and that'll probably take your pool close to where that north fence is, I'd be willing to deal tonight.
Where the word fence is where we want to put the pool at. New fence. Right there is where we want to put the pool. That would be the widest part to be able to
play. You got any idea how far that is off the property line?
I don't. I'm sorry. We should have measured before
we
came. I didn't think about it.
Well, I believe it's from here to this tree was like 14 feet. That's why.
So the tree was 14
feet. Yeah, I would rather not cut the tree down. But I mean, if that's my option, I guess.
Keeping in mind, if you made that measurement from the sidewalk, that may not be what the front yard setback is.
I'd like to take
very
another look at it, I think, from my perspective, and adapt Dave's proposal and go out and look at it as a board.
Okay.
We've done that, and that helps.
Yeah, we've done that. We did it once before at a garage deal up in the Oak Brook there area.
I make a motion we deferred this for a month.
Can we go home and measure 10 feet back and see how far it is?
I don't think so. I think there's enough question among all of us that we'd better be consistent on it and go out and take a look at it. Norm's going to make a, or did make a.
I want to see everybody use their
motion,
property to the highest and best use, but I don't want to interfere with a neighbor or future traffic or the sidewalk being in the way of something. So I'd rather defer this for a month, and I'll make that motion tonight.
Okay. Second.
We have a motion to defer this case and go out and look at it at our next, before our next regular meeting. I'm not sure the date.
I don't have a calendar.
And whether we can all get together at that point or not is another question. We have a motion that's been seconded. Any other discussion?
Mm-mm.
You want to go look at it? Okay. We'll let John come up with a date.
I'll contact the board members with a few options to see when you could all meet.
Okay.
Do we have to vote on that?
Yeah, since it's, he's made a motion to defer it. Yeah. All in favor signify by saying aye to move the meeting to next month and take a look at it as a board.
Aye.
Those opposed? Same sign. The motion's carried. We deferred this case 11-046 to our October meeting, and we'll go out and take a look at it so we're at least more consistent as a board. Okay, item B, case 11-047. This is 906 10 Plus Street, another R2 district, a request for a variance to allow a swimming pool and a required front yard within 20 feet of the property line, submitted by Troy Broderick. Do we have an affidavit of publication?
Yes, we do.
And you have a staff report.
The site is located south of Central, and it has two frontages, both on 28th and a half Street and 10 Plus Street. And the site is being illustrated with the yellow marking on the display before you. The applicant has had a pool placed approximately 20 feet away from the front yard setback on 10 Plus Street, while the R2 district has a 25-foot setback. There is a section of the code that speaks to the established setback. When a neighborhood has been established with a greater setback, then staff is to take the average of all of those setbacks and use that as the established front yard setback. Doing that, as the graphic being displayed before you now shows, that the entirety of this pool is within the front yard setback, the established front yard setback on 10 Plug Street. Certainly there are difficulties with this lot here due to the topography. From 10 Plus Street up to 28th and a half Street is a more than significant rise in elevation. Staff was trying to make a determination if there was any way we could apply this as the rear yard. And quite frankly, looking at all of this, every accessory use in this area has been oriented towards 28th and a half Street, and none of the accessory uses have been oriented towards 10 Plus Street. There was just nothing that supported that interpretation. While acknowledging the topography issues associated with placing this pool, even placing it at the proper setback is going to be very difficult, having to dig into a considerable amount of land to level out a buildable pad for it. Perhaps that would bring the pool close to the structure. Staff cannot cite any cases that support having the pool in this type of a front yard setting. I believe that summarizes the request before you.
Okay. Is this going to be an in-ground permanent type pool? Or
well, it is an above-ground pool, But as it is right now, it appears that it is going to be predominantly something that you would consider in ground, because the ground level is going to be at the top level of the pool. So I hope that answers your question.
Or higher.
Okay, is the applicant here and wishing to make comments?
My name's Troy Broderick. I guess what I want to say, first of all, is when this house was built, 10 Plus Street never existed at that point in my backyard, which I consider my backyard because my basement door comes out to that side. My front door, which where my mail comes, is on 28th and a half. It wasn't until the two houses next to me were built that they extended 10 plus or right around that time, and then they started considering that my front yard. So I guess what I'm saying is 10 plus has always been the back of my house since, I mean, it was my grandmother's house till I bought it 3 years ago. She lived there since day one. I've always known that as my backyard, because my basement door exits that side of the house. And it is kind of like John said, it is one of them deals that's weird, and I have no place to put a pool or any use of a backyard, what I would consider my front yard, which I have put roughly $10,000 into my backyard with a patio, concrete pad, hot tub, pool, 4-foot privacy fence. Like I say, I have nowhere to, on 28th and a half, to do anything like that. And all I'm asking for is 5 feet, because my understanding is it had to, the buildable area was 25 feet, and I'm at 20. That's all I'm asking for is that 5 feet. And really, I don't see where that, being especially it is almost in ground, that is bothering anybody in that area. There was woods on the opposite side of 10 plus. Of course, they're redoing that road right now, and they took some of that out. But really, it's in nobody's way. It's not a visual block, you know what I mean? Nobody, my neighbors ain't, you know, looking around my pool to get out of their driveway. It's well below where the 4-foot level is of that fence. Like John said, it actually sits kind of in ground.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Question for you, sir. How hard and fast are you in that location for the pool, or would you be willing to go, like you said, closer to the house, say 5 feet closer to the house?
Well, the problem with that is my concrete pad's right there. I only have a couple feet, you know, between the pool and the concrete pad, and I was going to extend a deck from the concrete pad, and I know you're not big, obviously, on what going to do, but like I said, I have already invested $10,000 into my backyard, you know, and I was going to put a deck from the patio to the pool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd just like to say I've been around a long time, and 10 Plus Street's been there forever, but I think it was an alley more than a street, and then it probably got a street designation some years in the past, and people started to build on it, and it improved that way. So I can see his hardship, or whatever he is trying to do here.
Is there anyone, let me ask, is there anyone else wishing to speak either in favor of or in opposition?
Yeah, I'm Drew Erian. I'm one of Troy's neighbors. He's always been a good neighbor. As far as where his pool is, I've been down there and looked at it. When we got the letter stating that he wanted to put a pool in there, I went down there to take a look at it, and I don't see any problem with it. It's not an eyesore. As far as being 20 feet off the street rather than 25, I don't know where that comes from, but I don't see that that's a problem, that he's 5 foot further out. He's still, you know, he's a good ways off the road where it is anyway. I just don't see that that's a problem.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else?
I'm Shirley Arian, and I ditto what Drew said. I'm Troy's neighbor. People on 28th Street and 10 plus use 28 and a half Street as their primary street. We get our mail from there. We enter our homes from 28 and a half, and his setup doesn't look to me like it's in anybody's way. Nobody is coming in and out of garages from 10 plus. Doesn't block anybody's view. It doesn't hinder garbage pickup, or I don't see a problem with it.
All right, thank you. Anyone else? Any questions from the board?
I just like confirmation. Are we talking about 20 versus 25 feet, or are you talking about 20 the 50 foot? I thought that was the issue, that the real
setback.
Line,
the display before you shows the established setback.
Okay.
That trumps the required 25 foot setback in the zoning district. It says that is in addition to. So the request is for a pool within a front yard. If you approve it, you're going to approve a pool in the front yard at a certain setback. But yes, indeed, the entirety of the pool is in the required front yard, because the established setback is the required setback. Normally in this zoning district, it would be 25 feet. In this neighborhood, it is not.
I have one other question. The property across the street, when I viewed the site on inspection, it was obvious that we went down 28 and a half to look at it, because you couldn't get down 10 plus, obviously. And the property directly to the east across 10 plus from this, that strip of property looks like it was a wooded ravine. I think the applicant mentioned that. Do we know anything at all about that property? Is that property owned by a single homeowner? It didn't look like there was enough of it there to support any kind of new development or anything. So do we anticipate
there is a significant drop off into a ravine?
Well, that's what it looked like, but
and that is a drainage way.
Okay.
No.
So you
would not be able to build on that.
We anticipate no additional residents in that neighborhood. Okay.
My thought is that, like a number of folks have mentioned, the topography in the area, the mixed nature of the neighborhood with the no street, then a street, 28 and a half street, people using the backyard as the front yard, this request doesn't seem out of character with the neighborhood, and I would support it.
Okay. Would you like to make a motion?
I would make a motion to approve case 11-047.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion to approve it. It's been seconded. Is there any further discussion? Not all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion's carried to approve case 11-047. Our next item is C, case 11-048. At 3832 Danbury Court, this is an R2 district, a request for a variance to allow a 6-foot high fence and a required front yard submitted by Caleb Evans. Do we have an affidavit of publication?
Yes, we do.
And you have a staff report.
Site is located at the south side of Danbury Court and adjacent to Tanglefoot Lane. Due to the fact that this is a through lot, with the frontage, the true frontage of this lot being on Danbury, and the rear of the house being on Tanglefoot Lane, the property line adjacent to Tanglefoot Lane is considered a front yard. The applicant would like to place a 6-foot high fence coming off of the corner the northeast corner of the house, and then proceeding as the graphic is shown by the red line down to and across the property line adjacent to Tanglefoot Lane. I will show you the same three examples that I showed you on the rolling hills, and those do appear to be a little more applicable to this case, as indeed these two are adjacent to the request that's before you here tonight with 6-foot fences. Again, you have a cul-de-sac with through lots that have 6-foot fences adjacent to a 4-lane roadway. Same again, this is just down the street, just east of the location of Danbury. Again, a cul-de-sac, through lots, and they have 6-foot fences along the rear end. I did receive a letter from Rodney Tharp. It is a letter of opposition. However, the letter makes it very clear that he believes and objects to a fence going across this front yard. And quite frankly, I should explain to the board, when they get our courtesy letter, it states what is on the agenda item here. So what he's reading is that this guy wants a 6-foot fence in a front yard, and he believes that that fence was going to go up here. Okay. And that is very clear that that's what the letter was objecting to.
Okay.
I believe that summarizes it, and I did not receive any other feedback from any neighbors.
Okay. Is the applicant here and wishing to make any comments?
I have talked to most of my neighbors, and nobody really opposes this. And they were all confused about the letter because they thought also that it was my front yard. So the letter does say that it's my front yard, but it's actually what we consider our backyard. So I want this granted just for safety, because I have 4 children, and with Tanglefoot expanding with the pathway and stuff, I'd rather have a 6-foot privacy fence, because we've had people bend over our existing fence right now and pet our dog. So that kind of scares me. So just because of that, I would like more privacy in our backyard, which is considered a dual front yard. So,
right.
That's all.
All right, thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor or in opposition?
Hi, everybody. I'm James Elder. I'm the neighbor next to them to the east. If you pull up, I think it was Schedule C, you can actually see my property to the east, which is the right on the screen there. You're pointing out that I have a 6-foot privacy fence or a 6-foot fence in my backyard. I actually don't. It's a 4-foot chain link. And can't remember their names, sorry. Caleb and his wife are neighbors, and we both recently moved to these houses. What we've both discussed is the new bike path and the new recreation path going through there, and currently right now we get anywhere from 25 to 30 people walking by a night, and on the weekends it's a little bit more. But I'm all for adding a 6-foot privacy fence. As you can see in my property, I've got a 3-foot setback with bushes that are between the chain link fence and the sidewalk. Although it looks nice, it is a great garbage collector. So, you know, when we look at how far we want to have people set back their fences and what we put in there, you just have to kind of look at that, as I'm always there almost every night cleaning garbage out that someone's throwing in the bushes. So, but yeah, we would like to see them get that, because I have a 6-foot fence on 3 sides of my property that's a wooden privacy fence. I would like to continue mine across the back also. So, and then actually, once, if they're approved, meet their line with their fence so that we have a straight fence going across there. So that's all I have. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Can I add one thing?
Sure.
It's the neighbor on the opposite side of Jim here. They have a privacy fence also that we just want to line up with. And she does have a mulch bed and flowers and everything that I would like to do the same. So, yeah, she would be on the left-hand side of the screen there, so I don't know. That's it.
How far, I can't recall, how far is that fence off the sidewalk on your left side?
It's about a foot or maybe two.
So it's just, it's pretty much on the sidewalk then?
Yes, right off. Because our backyard is not very deep at all. So if we moved back even farther, we wouldn't have a backyard.
Is the wire fence the same setback, about 2 feet?
Yes, my wire fence is exactly where I put the wooden fence.
Okay. Your neighbor that just spoke, is your fence about 2 foot back off the sidewalk?
Yeah, I'm pretty close. I'm within a foot. I'm another 1 foot back with my chain link fence. Yes. Yeah, we're an actual 3 foot setback. From
there's no driveways coming out here, so it's not a problem as far as vision is concerned.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Okay, any questions from the board?
No, the only thing I'd add is my feelings on the first request really haven't changed to this request. In fact, it's just confirmed that whatever we decide here this evening is going to, or next meeting, we'll start a whole chain of precedences down Tanglefoot. And I still believe from aesthetic view and what feelings I have for the Bettendorf community is we don't want 6 foot fences up against the sidewalks, creating somewhat like a fortress or a barrier look to the community. And so my feelings are 10 foot back on these 6 foot fences.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Rob. I don't know how many, whether at least 3 fences in there now, maybe 4 along that strip. And all those yards back up to Tanglefoot. Further down in each direction, they convert back to the real front yards. The houses face north and south.
Mm-hmm. Right. And for the, you know, I'm not going to say there's not any exceptions, but for the most part, in the last number of several years anyway, whether it's Field Sykes, whether it's 18th Street, Tanglefoot, 53rd, we've been pretty much holding to the 10-foot, maybe with deviating off the 10-foot for tree reasons or other extenuating circumstances a couple feet. But for the most part, we've been trying to hold to the 10 feet, and I think we should continue that precedence unless there's an extenuating circumstance of some sort.
If this fence were set back, say, from the existing further than it's requested, it would not be in line with the existing fence to the west. But if the neighbor to the east wants to put in a fence, he could line it up with it. And if they ever had to replace the other fence, then they'd have to set it back, the existing fence that's there to the west. Is that correct, John?
It would be whatever requirement you would make of that.
Mm-hmm. He's already got a variance.
For that fence. For that fence that's current and existing.
The 4 foot fence.
Oh, it's a 4 foot fence.
But there are.
Most
six
of it.
Yeah.
There is some 6 foot fence.
The side
there
coming back, which is in the front yard setback, is a 6 foot high. So, okay. Well, and then on the west side, it's a 6 foot high fence.
Okay.
But no, I'm not sure if I understand your question, so excuse me if I'm wrong. If you require this one to be set back 10 feet, yeah, that doesn't mean the one to the west would have to be set
no,
back.
No, I know that. But
okay,
if he ever
I'm
replaced
sorry.
It, if he ever replaced it, would he have to step back 10 feet then?
No.
No, I don't think
no,
so.
He
no,
was
got
he has,
okay.
No,
he's got a
variance.
I want to be sure that yeah, we understand.
Yeah. I guess I have a great deal of appreciation for Rob for holding the fences back. But I have I think part of aesthetics in our community and part of practicality dictates that the continuity, you know, the continuity of what's already established there,
right,
plays a huge role to me. So I'm in support of this as presented. Simply in that area, not necessarily starting over because we've discussed that and I agree, but in a fresh place, but where you've already got an established pattern, then I don't know.
Established pattern with a 4 foot fence.
Well, with the 6-foot fence directly adjacent to it.
Yeah, there's a 6-foot fence there.
But we're talking about the 4-foot fence right now, and to me.
Well, I'm talking about the 6-foot fence that the applicant wants to put in.
Yeah, what I'm trying to encourage everybody is saying that this is going to create a domino effect, and it will progress all the way up and down Tanglefoot. Other than where you got your
well,
space.
Can't. It,
other than the front yard.
Yeah,
where,
right.
That's the exception.
Uh-huh.
Agreed.
In fact, this is probably the only block, and I guess that's got that, isn't it?
You've been very limited in these approvals on these through lots at the end of cul-de-sacs. That has not translated into adjacent neighbors that have true front yards or corner yards or interior yards that are not through lots getting the same thing. And those past two cases that were cited here this evening were corner lots. They were not through lots, and that's when you required the additional 10 to 15-foot setback for the 6-foot fences.
I see what Rob is saying also, but I think I tend to agree with Dave. You have to stay somewhat consistent.
Right. I concur with what Bob's trying to say, but I think with the line of sight of fences, we want to keep them even and straight, and I think we have to approve this. So I'll make a motion to approve case number 11-048 at 3832 Danbury Court.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion to approve it. It's been seconded. Is there any further discussion? Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All the same, is there same side to oppose it?
That'd be me.
That'd be Rob, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm going to vote for it to remain consistent with the existing fences along Tanglefoot there. So there's three in positive and one abstention there, or against it. So the case will stand and be approved at 11-048-3832 Danbury. Okay, moving on, is the applicant for case D here? Yes, okay, we can go ahead.
Do you want us to go or would you like us to wait till the end?
Oh, he's out of time.
Okay.
So we go? Okay, this is D, case 11049 at 1315 18th Street, a request for a variance to reduce the required rear yard setback from 25 feet to 22 feet to allow for construction of a screened porch, submitted by Tom Wells. Do we have an affidavit of publication?
Yes, we do.
You have a staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The site is located just south of Lincoln on the east side of 18th Street, and it's being highlighted on the display before you in red. The applicant currently has a 14 by 14 foot deck. Would like to replace that with a 16 by 20 foot screen porch. Going back to the first display, this lot is 112 foot deep. That is somewhat unusual, even in the original areas of the city. Most of the original areas of the city you'll see with 120 foot deep lots, and even to the north of this, those lots are 120 foot deep. So this is, from the standpoint of depth from the front to the rear lot lines, somewhat shorter distance than is routine. The encroachment into the required setback would be 3 feet. Reducing that setback, that rear yard setback, from 25 feet to 22 feet, and therefore it appears that the request is consistent with the reduction of the depth of the lot, although it wasn't a great deal of reduction. Routinely it's about 120 feet from front to rear, and this one's 112. The rear yard setback normally being 25, this is 22. It appears to be at least consistent with the circumstances that surrounds this neighbor. Staff cannot identify a hardship Other than what I have already described for you, the narrowness of the lot. Having said that, staff does not see where this would have an adverse impact on any of the surrounding properties either. I believe that summarizes it, unless any of you have any questions.
Okay, is the applicant here wishing to make any comments?
No, he said everything.
Okay. Anyone else wishing to speak either in opposition or in favor? Okay, any questions from the board?
I'd like to ask, is the neighbor okay with this being closer to their property? That's a confined area. Is your neighbor happy or? Pardon?
They don't.
They haven't said anything?
No.
Okay.
Staff didn't receive any feedback either.
Okay, just concerned with the neighbor, you know.
It's a brand new neighbor. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion to approve case 11049.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion to approve. It's been seconded. Further discussion? Not all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign. Motion's carried to approve case 11049. Our next item then is E. This is case 11054 at 6001 State Street, a request for a special use permit to allow a concrete recycling facility submitted by Teresa and Glenn Perkins. Do we have an affidavit of publication?
Yes, we do.
And you have a staff report.
The site is located on the south side of State Street, just west of the intersection of 62nd Street Court, and is outlined in the graphic before you in yellow. The special use request requires a 9-point evaluation. You have that very specifically gone over in your staff report. I believe that evaluation on all of those items was about 2 pages long. I'll be very brief on it. The use is indeed designated as a special use under 1623. In 2003, the site was filled with the authority of a flood zone development permit, and the applicant will be required to follow all other code requirements. The development will comply through staff with the site and structure requirements in section 1627. The applicant is indicating that they will be putting a concrete wall barrier adjacent to the State Street side with numerous plantings of blue spruces to do whatever reduction in visibility from State Street as is possible. The parking access was already allowed on US 67 by Iowa, the Department of Transportation. This has been zoned I-2 since 1970, and therefore the use is consistent and would not be considered to be injurious to the surrounding properties. There has not been any denials by the board for this type of request in the past, and I believe that from the specific items addressed in the staff report, that staff feels that this meets the 9 code requirements for recommendation, and staff does recommend approval. For everybody out there, this is a asphalt mixing or an asphalt recycling facility. This site has been filled in such a way that it is probably not conducive to the placement of structures on it, and this site has in the past been a problem with the weeds that have grown up on it and the storage of junk down there. That's something that can be addressed here, and this will be a facility that has the concrete coming in to be recycled with the machinery on site and then taken out for use elsewhere. And I do believe the applicant can answer any of the specific questions about the operation that you might have.
Are there state regulations on this type of facility as far as noise, pollution, that sort of thing? They have to adhere to all. The applicant
can probably answer that. I think the applicant can answer that better.
Yeah.
There would be regulations, and there's a facility not but a half a mile that does the same thing. as ours would. We just different companies, so it's the same. A similar activity occurs not too far from there, so.
You're talking about the concrete plant that.
That would be Tri-City Blacktop, I think, is what he's referring to.
Oh, okay, yeah. So it does have all the proper regulations on it.
Correct.
Okay. You have any other comments?
I guess I am Bo Perkins with Hawkeye Paving Corp. We're in Bettendorf. We've been in Bettendorf in business for 30 years. It's a family-owned company, and we work mainly on paving projects in the area. We would like the land to reuse the material. We bring the material to the site, we'd recycle it, and then put it back on roads. Bettendorf allows you to put this recycled material underneath streets, so it's just more economical. If we do it ourselves, we bring it right to the site, we recycle it, then it goes back out on underneath the roads as sub-base. We'd put a retaining wall in front just to make it like they showed in the picture there in the trees to make it more aesthetically pleasing. And then operation just Monday to Saturday, 7 to 7. Not every day that late, but just some days if their project needs the rock, we'd be going out there a little bit later. But we're limited in our time. We're constrained by city when we can deliver it to the job sites anyway. So.
Okay.
Just out of curiosity, what kind of noise level does your plant put out? Is it a noisy operation?
It's not too noisy. It depends. We've been next door to one for many years, and it's never bothered us. I don't think I've hear too many complaints about the noise, and it's not something that would be going on every day. The machine that crushes it wouldn't be on location. It would happen periodically, maybe once a month. The actual crushing would go on for a day or two, and then the machine would be gone. It's not something that there's not enough volume material to continuously run it.
John and Bill, have we had any complaints from the other operation on State Street?
No, nothing due to noise.
Is it contained in a building?
No, it would be outside. It's just a machine, kind of like a excavator, but it just goes into it, feed it in with a loader, and it crushes the concrete and it spits it out. And then it's conveyor belts that would run the material out into different size rock and gradation to use on projects, depending on what size you're trying to get.
Just for recollection purposes, if you remember when the buildings, Mr. Volliger probably does, the buildings were demolished where the Waterfront Convention Center sits now, that the demolition contractor had a concrete crushing machine down there for about a two-week period and ran that to help reduce the amount of waste that was hauled away from the site. So if any of you were familiar with that, you can kind of get a barometer as to what this will be.
I think it'll be an improvement up there myself, to level the ground and get rid of the weeds and put a fence or
kind of an ugly
block up in the front
right
of
now.
It. My only question, does it go all the way to the next road that goes into Beeline?
No.
It doesn't go that far. Okay.
No.
Now, Balzer used to have a junkyard.
About
there,
right
so.
There, sir.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's going to be an improvement. I'd make a motion to approve case 11-054.
I'll second.
Okay. I didn't ask. Is there, before we go this far, is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor or in opposition? Okay. We do have a motion. It's been seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Okay, the motion's carried to approve case 11-054. Next item is F, case 11-055 at 6175 Valley Drive, a request for a special use permit to allow the residents of the proprietor on the premise of an industrial use submitted by Kelly and Randy Beeston. Do we have an affidavit of
publication? Yes, we do.
And you have a staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you can see, the site being outlined on the graphic before you, north of the areas of Beartooth Court and Zimmerman Drive on the south side of Valley Drive. The current configuration of the building is shown on the graphic before you with the blue footprint. They would like to renovate this structure, upgrade it, and the outline shown in red will be the new footprint of the building. They'd like to convert this business into an upscale dog daycare facility and kennel. That use is allowed in this district under the code 16224B. Therefore, it is an allowed use down here. The expansion would include a main entry office area, a daycare area, a grooming area, garage for the storage of related vehicles, and the residence of the owner and proprietor. This property has been used as by the applicants as their residence since 2008. Therefore, this request is simply a continuation of the current situation that already exists down there. Currently, it's an existing non-conforming use. By this action, you would actually be making the acknowledgement that they are running the business there, and as long as they're doing improvement to this structure, we felt it was the right time to bring it in compliance through the special use to have the residence of a proprietor. To be clear, only the proprietor may live on the site here if this is approved. It may not be rented out for an apartment use or anything like that. The only residential use specified in this district under that special use is the residence of the proprietor. So you can be assured that it would be the owners on site looking after the facility and keeping up the facility. The only undeveloped land anywhere around this has just recently been platted, and that's the JJZ development. That is expected to develop in exactly or very similar to the way that Beartooth Court has been developed, and staff cannot see where this type of a facility adjacent to that would cause any adverse impact on any of the surrounding area. Staff has never had any complaints about the residential component of this site in the past, and feels the request does meet all of the standards for the special use. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Is there any applicant here wishing to make any comments? No. Would you please go to the podium so we can record it properly?
My name is Randy Beeson. Mainly what we're doing, my wife and our five-year-old son currently live at this address. Where you plan on making it a lot better as far as doing a doggy daycare kenneling service. We currently live in the section B, and what we're requesting is to kind of move to the south side of the building that we're planning on adding on. From a business standpoint, it would work a lot better for us to make that area that we're currently living in a office slash area for the people to come in and drop their dogs off and that type of thing. Another aspect too, from a personal standpoint, is the bedrooms and the living areas are pretty small, so we just kind of want to just shift to the back side of the house.
Okay. Anything else? Anyone else wishing to speak in favor of or in opposition? Any questions from the board?
I have no concern. Well, I have concern, but I approve it.
Yeah, I don't have any particular issues.
They've been doing it since, what, 08, you said?
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't see any problem with it myself. Okay. Did you make that in the form of a
motion? I'll make a motion that we approve case number 11-055 at 6175 Valley Drive.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and it's been seconded. Is there any further discussion? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign. Motion's carried to approve case 11055. The next item on our agenda is G. This is case 11056 at 3593 Middle Road. This is an A1 district, a request for a special use permit to allow a wireless communications facility, including a transmission tower for cellular phone use, submitted by AT&T Mobile. Do we have an affidavit of publication?
Yes, we do.
You have a staff report.
The site is located at the First Baptist Church property on Middle Road, which is adjacent to the former Eagles building right there. The applicant would like to place a cellular phone tower and the related wireless communications equipment on site. It would be located on the southwest corner, as far to the rear of the property as is possible. have a small access coming off of the rear of the parking lot of the church to get up to that facility. Section 13.13.18 states that a tower type must have at least 1 acre. This site has 9.19 acres, or over nine times the required land needed to locate a tower in this location. The site would be surrounded with a fence. The brown area being displayed for you is where the wireless communications facility and equipment would be located, and then the blue graphic there is the site of the tower. The tower would be what is now becoming the standard typical monopole that most cellular towers going up today are looking like, and this would give you an idea of the elevation viewed from the side of the site and the tower. The site is very close to what most of us refer to as the tower farm, where many of the communications towers for TV and radio are located. Therefore, staff doesn't feel that this would detract from what is existing at this general area currently today. I did receive a letter and have provided you a copy of it from Irving Kalin. He lives at 3644 Middle Road, and he asked that the tower be located as far to the rear of the property as is possible, and that a fence be erected around the facility to hide as much of the facility as possible. It appears that the plan is very much like what is being requested in the letter. I cannot answer what type of fence that will be. I do know we have people here, whether that'll be a chain link fence or a solid fence. Normally they are chain link because they hold up so much better, and they don't require as much maintenance to keep them looking as well. I believe that summarizes the request, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Is the applicant here wishing to make any comments?
Good evening. My name is Steve Ward. I'm with Ward Development, a consultant working with AT&T Mobility. I just wanted to add that between the application and tonight's meeting, we dropped off a supplemental packet. I believe they've been distributed. If there's any more information that's needed, it's within the packet. I'm really here to, I don't want to take up a lot of time, as I know the meeting's gone on for a while, but I'm here to answer any questions you might have. As to the landscaping, yeah, typically it's a chain link fence, but we'll offset it from the property lines. The code does require a landscaping barrier be placed around the fence. The other thing that's not reflected is we do propose to build an access drive from the rear of the parking lot to the site, but we're going to also try and work with the owners of the property to the west, the former Hy-Vee, to see if we can maybe get an access from there rather than having to pave a new road.
Couple questions for you, sir. How high a fence, and are you going to be putting barbed wire on top of it?
Typically the design has a 7-foot fence with barbed wire, but if the code does not allow barbed wire, we'll go to 8 feet with no barbed wire.
What this came up in the tower with some of that residential property there. What is the requirement here? Is that an 8-foot fence and barbed wire, or is there a requirement?
The requirement, in the agricultural zone district, you can't have barbed wire. There was a challenge to that, and I think, Mr. Chairman, you remember that, and you came in, and the board decided that barbed wire was not going to be allowed in that case. So technically, according to the ordinance, barbed wire is allowed in the A1 district, but precedence has been set by the zoning board that they do not wish to see it in sparsely developed areas.
So this would be an 8-foot fence.
So your intention is to do a 7-foot with barbed wire?
That's the typical design. We haven't gone to full construction drawings at this point. If we would do a fence without barbed wire, we would want to go to 8 feet just for the extra security for climbing. A 6-foot fence with barbed wire you can't do just because of the safety of proximity to the people walking by. So the barbed wire is optional for us. We don't really
care. Is there a ladder on the monopole that kids can climb up?
There's climbing pegs that are up about, I don't remember the exact code, it's either 13 or 15 feet. So if you want to get up to the climbing pegs, you'd have to have a ladder to get to those climbing pegs.
Be pretty difficult.
Yeah.
The other question is there light? Is this going to be a lit monopole?
No, the height of the tower is set at 190 feet. There would be a lightning rod above that for about 6 feet, which gets it to 196.
Okay.
The FAA limit is 200 feet. Anything over 200 feet has to be lit. We will also run an FAA tower space analysis, airspace analysis, but with the other towers in the area, we don't feel there's going to be any issue.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Good.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I would add that he did supply the required study to demonstrate the service need for this chosen location. And I would also point out that if approved, the applicant will be required to allow other cellular vendors to co-locate their antennas on this structure so that we don't have multiple towers going up in this area. It's always been the way that staff has approached these, is to maximize the effect anytime a tower goes up.
Yeah.
One other comment. I noticed in the text of the staff report, it mentioned a 25-foot by 25-foot compound. We're actually proposing a 60-foot by 60-foot compound. At least that's our lease area. We can fence much smaller than that if that's what the board would like, but the extra lease area allows us to get extra users within that compound.
This will have no effect on Wallace's or the former grocery store to the west? No effect at all?
Not that we can foresee, but the commercial uses in the area, no.
Okay.
Okay, is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor or in opposition?
My name is Richard Bettis. I'm a trustee at the First Baptist Church in Bettendorf. So we've already been in discussion with Steve on this project. So we are, of course, are in support of it. So just wanted to let you know they have our blessings.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Not any questions by the board?
Well, my first thought is I'm totally in support of the project. It's my only question is, I'm not sure I got a position on it so much, is what do we think is advisable as far as security fencing? Is it 8 foot? Is it 7 foot plus barbed wire? What's our thoughts on that?
The previous case that we talked about,
was
we had an 8-foot fence there, and I guess we haven't had any problems. I've never heard of one, but.
No, but. They were required to remove the barbed wire from the top, if you recall. Staff's preference would be an 8-foot high fence with no barbed wire.
With no barbed wire?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's what the applicant said he was in the plan.
Bill, just a question for you. The thing that was concerning me, and it kind of applies with the tower farm too, they're very remote. So there's not a lot of visual people checking up on what's going on in those areas. And so my concern was kids out there drinking or whatever, getting horsing around, if you make it too easy for them, they might see an opportunity here.
At our offices, 4403 Devil's Glen Road, we have almost a twin to this facility up there. The city owns it, and we lease out space to vendors. One side of the enclosure is Crow Creek Park. And we've never had any incidents there, so.
Okay.
I feel fairly comfortable that, obviously you can't guarantee that people aren't going to get in there and do some things they aren't supposed to, but city owns two different towers around town. We also own the one up on 21st Street by the AEA, and not familiar with any problems we've had up there either.
Okay.
Do you have a comment?
I do have a comment, and one of the issues with fencing and aesthetics as far as the site has to do with our landlord. So I may have to work with the church as far as what type of fence they want to see and then bring that back to the board. Also, just so I'm in accordance with the code, and I put this in the packet, there is a section of the code, 18.10.5, paragraph F, and it says that the site shall be landscaped in accordance with a landscape plan and shall have an opaque fence. So if a chain link fence would be fine with both the church and the city to make it opaque, we could put slats in the fence, just something so it's more sight proof. We could also do a wooden fence, and that way it'd be completely opaque.
No, I think the chain link is
what chain link is more secure.
Existing over on the other property right around the towers. So
what we try to do is provide enough landscaping, such as arborvitae or whatever around that, and that's our suggestion that makes the equipment not quite so visible to passersby.
Right. Okay. Anyone else?
Yes, in answer to Steve's there, the church is going to be satisfied or will be satisfied with any of the requirements you work out between you and Steve there, whatever you as the board decide and they agree to would be satisfactory with the church.
Okay, I think we've settled on a plan that is consistent with the surrounding area where there's towers there, so.
John, do we have to phrase our motion to accommodate the changes in this packet that was just supplied to us, the 60 by 60, or?
No.
Okay.
No, that'll all be site plan issues, and you're approving the use for it.
So with my fellow board members' permission, I'll make a motion here, unless somebody else.
Sounds good.
Second.
I'll make a motion to approve case 11051, contingent on a 12, what did we agree to? I forgot now. 8 foot.
8 foot
chain link fence.
And it's 11056 rather than 11051. You said 51, but that's.
We'll get it right yet.
Right.
I make a motion to approve case 11056, contingent on an 8 foot chain link fence.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion that's been seconded. Is there any further discussion? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion's carried to approve case 11056. Last item on our agenda is H. This is case 11-057. This is the southeast 4.6 acres of I-74 Technology Park. This is a C6 district, a request for a variance to allow parking in a required front yard setback and for a variance to reduce the required rear yard setback from 50 feet to 40 feet, submitted by Alan Frankel. Do we have an affidavit of publication?
Yes, we do.
And you have a staff report.
And the site is located north and west of the intersection of Utica Ridge Road and Tanglefoot Lane. The specific portion of the property that's under consideration tonight is highlighted in yellow. The applicant would like to place four phases of a structure as shown on the site plan. Because this section is the narrowest front yard, then this becomes the rear yard. So I have identified by code what all the yard involvements are here. You have a front on adjacent to the northern extension of Golden Valley Drive, a front adjacent to 40th Avenue, a rear yard to the east, and a side yard to the south. The board has previously viewed this portion of the development in a previous case, and I'll go into more detail on that later. 30 feet of the parking on the north end will be in within the required 50-yard front yard setback, and 10 feet of that phase one section of the building will be within the required 50-yard setback.
Excuse me, John, you said yard. I think you meant feet.
50-foot setback. Correct. Yes, we aren't quite that restrictive. In March of 2009, the board approved a variance to allow parking in a front yard for the southern portion of this development, as I previously said, and that is shown in this graphic here. There have been several parking and front yards approved in this area, and those previous cases are being displayed in the graphic before you now. And that is the reason that the variance on this case, which is right here, was supported by the board. The board saw that there was parking in the front yard directly across Tanglefoot from it. There is front yard parking adjacent to Utica Ridge, front yard parking on the Golden Valley side, and the board felt comfortable with the variance to allow parking in this area of that section of the development. If this is approved, staff would recommend that the approval be tied to this specific project rather than just variances left open-ended should something different happen sometime in the future, depending on how this might develop. Unless you have any further questions, I believe that summarizes the case.
Okay. Is the applicant here and wishing to make any comment?
Alan Frankel, 3311 Sunburst Drive, Bettendorf. I'm the developer on the whole project with a few other people. This site is the proposed site for LEDS America, which is the company that's announced that they're moving some facilities from China to Bettendorf, to this location. And we're hoping that they'll have 60,000 plus square feet. When they're complete, it will be a combination of assembly and shipping area, as well as corporate headquarters and an R&D facility. It's being done in phases so that we can get them here and started as soon as possible. The buildings will be the building will be a tilled up concrete smooth, so you couldn't tell the difference between it and drive it. The company itself is proposing 140 to 160 jobs, payroll of $6 million plus, and a real estate eventually property of a that should come between $7.5 and $10 million. It's a compact site on purpose to provide efficiencies for them and also to make sure that we get everything done here in their time period, which is 3 years. Questions, concerns?
What's the height of the building anticipated to be?
Height of the building is going to be 17, possibly 18 feet.
Alan, where's the loading dock and so forth for the shipment of the suits?
I'm sorry?
The loading dock and so forth? Where the
Everything will be in to the south. At the moment, there is no loading dock. What they make are tubes like this, the two-foot tubes, four-foot tubes, but they're not fluorescents. They're light-emitting diodes. And really, that's the third generation after the curlicues, if you will. I don't know what their label is. So
they need a shipping point, and will that shipping point be convenient for the other businesses across the other business that you propose to the south?
I'm sorry, I'm hearing you.
That's all right. Will the adequate space be there for shipping of the product or sending out from the first proposal that you brought to us? You brought a plan that was approved a year ago, okay?
They ship mostly UPS.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're
very light. In fact, that's part of their problem. Shipping from China on a boat requires large quantities to make it economically feasible, but then it takes 3 to 4 weeks to get here. So they're having a hard time getting their inventories balanced against their orders. They're based in Florida right now, and even the president of the company is going to move into Bettendorf. It's a real international company. One member is from France. There's another R&D vice president who's from London, who's based in China. There's a woman who works quite a bit of their research and stuff, who's coming over from China, is going to be here for at least a year. So that's, everything's kind of designed around fitting the pieces together.
Okay, my only thought was they're building a product and it has to be sent out, so how is it going to be sent out? And where's
it all goes out UPS.
Okay, but there still has to be
once in a while you might get a delivery from somebody who, particularly coming in, that might be a 24 or 28 foot truck, or if somebody sends a semi. The radius is, that's one reason why we had certain things done the way it is.
But there is adequate
radiuses
room.
Can fit.
There is adequate room, Bill, as far as you know, is for this.
Are you talking about for traffic access?
Yes.
Yeah, we had a development review committee meeting today, and the fire marshal was there, and he said it looked like, at least with phase one, that the access would be okay for fire vehicles.
Well, I'm talking about shipping in and out after this place progresses in phase four or five there. If there's adequate room with the buildings to the south to get access to it to bring products in and out. That's all.
Well,
in the long-term plan, it's like this. They'll come in here, whatever has to be done, whether it's a door here or somewhere. Eventually, they'll go out this street.
Okay. All right. That's all I'm asking.
This was done to accommodate so that you have more the proper setback on this end, because we perceive that R&D, a larger facility, will sit here in their offices.
Okay.
Now, if they grow so much, then we're anticipating, if this ground is still available, that we move the corporate structure closer to the interstate.
All right.
So it's a piecemeal, but yet it's kind of master planned, if you will, so that it doesn't mean we don't miss something, but we kind of think with all the discussions we've had with staff and our architects and engineers and administrators, we have a pretty good hand.
Okay. All right.
Hopefully they outgrow it, but
yeah,
we don't want them to outgrow it until they are definitely a citizen of that. By the way, he is going to own the building.
Okay.
That's been determined through part of his funding process. The state of Iowa, bi-state, local banks, Eastern Iowa Community College, putting together an outstanding training program for him, and there's a couple other agencies that just are already on board.
Okay.
That's where the deal sits.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
I have a question. Are we looking at a speculative site, or are we looking at a site that we have like a letter of intent? The reason I'm asking is because we talked about the staff suggestion was that we approve this based on this particular concept, not on any generic use for the property. And so I guess my question is are we working with a letter of intent and this is the site they've chosen, or is this one site of several around the city that they might be interested in?
No, this is it.
Okay.
It's if we don't perform, they go.
Okay.
If we perform, they come. Always have one question about the banks, because they always come in. They want to sign last. Everybody started out, everybody wanted to sign last, so.
Everybody does.
Say. We've gotten past most of that with most of the agencies now. The tentative closing date is October 13th.
Morning,
and that was actually by one of the bankers. So there's still a lot of hoops to go through, a lot of paperwork, and a lot of things. But it's a combination of sales, France loans, a whole bunch of things.
Okay. So as an applicant, you have no objection to an approval, if it's approved, that would be specific to this particular project the way it's laid out?
The only question I would have, and I didn't really realize that was a big item in it, but one of the questions I would have is if he sells it, it doesn't revert back. It stays in its present status then.
Absolutely not. It's just we wanted... This is going to be the configuration, and if that's going to be the configuration and the approved variances, it stays with it always. Doesn't matter who owns it.
Okay, that's fine.
Right.
As far as, you know, Bill and I have had discussions, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but we talked about how we're going to subdivide it. And what I think was agreed is we're going to only have lot one is the whole thing, even though when it first starts here in April, it'll be an empty lot with grass on it. But what we're hoping is that by the end of phase one, before he even moves in, he's going to give us the go-ahead to build phase two for him. That gets us out to about 35,000 feet, and that gets us probably about 60 jobs. And by the way, his funding from the state is the same way. Got to reapply as you go. And we presume everybody else is the same. I think the only one that, I should take that back. I think the only one that agreed to do the whole project estimate was the community college on the jobs training program. Mm-hmm. Because they go out for bonds and they do their own way of funding the way they do things. The reason why I mentioned it about being a one-lot subdivision is because in the event he would leave but say he still wants to own the property or sell it, the bays could easily be broken up into different companies, and again, kind of paraphrasing you. Well,
I guess from staff standpoint, you know, this is a big project and a lot of square footage on a site, and you've only got X amount of site available. But if this project didn't go, and I have all the faith in the world it's going to, and the property got sold to somebody else, and they wanted to put 5,000 square foot buildings on it, they would have the room to move them back to the correct setback. And with the variance, it stays with the property forever. You know, this at that point in time, it becomes tantamount to a rezoning.
I can't.
Yeah.
We've done as much projecting forward as our ability, I would say.
Okay.
Bill or John, a question. 40th Street does not exist at the present time, does it?
Yeah. No, it's there.
Yeah. It's there?
Yeah.
Oh.
There's business back there.
There's a big mound on part of this site where
right there.
Lot one is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. You've got Terracon and
Galaxy.
Galaxy, yeah.
On
which
40th,
former,
yeah.
Formerly Boyd Fitzgerald. Which is probably the one.
You've probably never driven on it. Most people haven't,
no,
but it
I've
is
never,
back there.
No, I went
to the east where we're dealing with the, the east is, what do you think that is? Another front yard?
East is a rear yard.
That's Quest, which faces Utica Ridge.
Okay.
They're about 15 feet above it.
Okay.
So we've got some interesting.
All right.
Interesting issues there, too. Thank you again, unless you have other questions.
My comment was, as I appreciated, John, your point of making, if we did approve this request, contingent on this particular project, that's the reason I asked what the height was, is that if for some reason phase one went, but the other phases did not, a little different reason than what Bill was talking about, what happens if somebody wants to put an eight-story building in there, and then the setback just doesn't make sense anymore, but the variance has already been granted, and we were kind of stuck with it at the time. So that's why
our
I appreciate what you're suggesting as well.
And really the only reason why it's that tall is because the first two phases are 200 foot deep.
Mm-hmm.
We have some.
Sure, I understand. But you understand our point too.
We have some collection issues.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to approve case 11057, contingent on on the project going ahead as specified today.
Okay.
I'll second.
We have a motion, and it's been seconded. Is there any further discussion? Okay, if not, all in favor, would you like to make a comment?
Can I make a comment, please?
Yeah, sorry.
I was able to speak with my wife out there just briefly, and I was just checking to see if the board would be interested if we could
Why don't you hold up just a minute? We're in the process of voting on this one item
first. I'm sorry.
We haven't closed it out yet. We do have a motion that's been seconded to approve case 11057. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign. Case number 11057 is approved. Okay, now, if you'd like to make a comment.
Yeah, I apologize about that.
All right.
So your definition of defer was a little bit different than ours.
I was able to speak to my wife, and we were wondering if the board would, if there could be a compromise. We talked about setting in 6 foot out there off the sidewalk, you know, to some type of compromise, I guess. You guys had requested 10 foot, and after listening to the other discussions, you know, this is my first time coming to a meeting like this. I currently have an angled fence on that corner, and, you know, I could see stepping in 6 foot. That would give me enough room to, you know, put a flower bed in there, just be a little larger flower bed than I was planning on. But I was just, you know, coming in 6 foot off the sidewalk, because obviously your bike path is going to be 10 foot wide, you know, and I can understand where they may need, I don't know if they're going to be going at all past that sidewalk or not, but I'm not sure, you know, how that works.
They won't need additional right of way.
So it'll just be the sidewalk. A total
That's
of 10
correct.
Feet wide path.
That's correct.
Yes.
From my vantage point, I'd find 6 foot acceptable and having a pool.
I do too.
I do for both of them.
I do too.
Okay, are we treating this as two things?
Yeah. You are. There's two different sections of the code requirements. One is for the pool and the other is for the
fence.
The fence.
Right.
Procedurally, you have deferred this.
Yeah, you need to make a motion.
So whoever made that motion would have to be the one to make a motion to open it for consideration, and whoever seconded that motion would have to be the one to second opening it again for consideration.
I apologize. I've never been to one of these before.
I made it.
Norm made the motion, and Dave seconded.
On case 1104, excuse me, on case 11046 at 3806 Rolling Hills Drive, I will remove my deferred until the next meeting and bring it back onto the agenda this evening.
And as a second, would you agree with that?
I'm unable to do that. I am still unwilling to support a non-application. And to me, this is just a non-application. I'm sorry, I can't.
What do you mean by non-application?
It's an application. We have applications before us, and it states what the applicant wants. Now what we have is a discussion that's taken place in the hallway and discussion that's taken place here. We really don't know where anything's going to go. We've only settled on a 6 foot line instead of a no foot line. And to my way of thinking, there's it's a bigger issue than that. So I apologize, and I'd like to see you do whatever the best you can with your property. But I'm just uncomfortable supporting what I don't know. I don't know what the rest of that means. What's 6 foot mean, and then where's that pool go, and where's that, you know, what's that all about? So
I believe my application, if I could flip back to this page real quick. I know everybody wants to go home, and I apologize. But my application, I have applied to the city. It says requesting a 6 foot fence up to the front property line, adjacent to tangle foot, and move a pool within the same setback. Then that's what the application that I had put in. Staying 6 foot in is going to leave plenty of room, you know, as far as any of the drives, and yet that would, you know, I see your concern why you didn't want it on the fence, because setting precedence or on the sidewalk line, you know, for futures, you know, if anybody in the future.
Very honestly, sir, before I offered the compromise of coming and visiting, I would have been a nay for your application. So the compromise was my way of saying, hey, let's try to work this out. I haven't heard anything. The 6 foot thing doesn't change my mind on that. So I would, you know, if I'm forced to say yay or nay, my vote is nay. So I'm sorry, I'm unable to support it.
Well, for lack of a second, then, yeah.
It's deferred.
It's deferred. It's deferred. Yeah.
Before we go there, because you may have a second here yet.
Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just have a question for you. When you look at from a no-foot line to a 6 foot line or a 10 foot or whatever, right now we're maybe at 6 foot, and then later, and this gentleman wasn't aware of it, we just agreed to a no-foot line basically, or a 2 foot line, whatever that turns out to line up with the fences.
It's a totally separate situation.
And we're talking about a block away.
That, to me, we're talking about continuity versus establishment of a new norm. And we're talking about a fence that's in somebody's front yard. And as opposed to a fence that's in somebody's backyard, I just feel differently. I respectfully disagree. I'm sorry.
Well, I came down here with the same notion, I think, Dave, that I didn't believe a swimming pool belonged in a front yard. So I can see your point.
But in a sense, guys, let's kind of be straight here. This is, technically, it's a front yard.
Yeah.
Reality, it's not a front yard.
Well, in reality, it's directly adjacent to the neighbor's front yard.
Understand that.
And everyone else's front yard along there. It just happens to be on the corner lot.
If I may say something.
No.
This letter, like I said, I had put in for this 2 months ago, and I understand that there was something happened with the meeting and it got canceled. And I feel that, and my wife feels that there's been, you know, plenty of time for any of my neighbors. They just received second letters about tonight's meeting again. You know, as far as if one of the neighbors had a problem with it, you know, they could come speak against it or send a letter, and just as I come tonight with my wife.
Well, it's not only the neighbors.
It's the community, too.
Yeah.
I know it's deferred at this point, but I do think we still have to have a meeting to discuss this and bring it forward the next meeting.
Complete agreement.
Okay.
I just want to be sure
then
I know what we're talking
then
about.
Then we know where the 6 foot line is.
And what happens after that?
Yeah.
I think.
What kind of hardship does that cause? Any particular one for you?
Well,
other than you want to move ahead of your fence?
I've got a lot of the fences already purchased, and I'm supposed to be picking it up through a store here in the Quad Cities, and I've got some of it there. I just kind of wanted to get going on it before the ground froze. This fence, like I said, it's a premium white vinyl fence. It's got 6x6 posts. It's got the fancy tops on it. It's a very high dollar fence, and I think it adds a lot of value to that area.
It's the same fence that you have up currently, right? I mean, it's just more of the same fence.
It's the exact same thing that I've got currently up.
You know, my esteemed colleagues making some good points here, and even though I'd be willing to go ahead with this tonight, I'm going to bow to that and not second, and I'm sorry it's probably going to cause you a big inconvenience, but, you know, we need to make sure we know what we're voting on here, and so I'm not going to second the motion to rescind.
I think this is unique enough that we've not dealt with the situation quite like this before, with a swimming pool and a fence on the corner lot on Tanglefoot. I know there's some other fences down the line that you might argue, but I think this is somewhat unique, so I'd like to go out and look at it again, too.
Yeah.
Has the board ever had a special, viewed a site and then come back and had a special meeting?
Mm-hmm. We have.
Would it be possible to do that in the next couple weeks, or?
The problem is making the proper announcements, right? if we have a special meeting.
If the public hearing is left open.
If the public hearing is left open, then I think you can.
Then I think you have the latitude.
Okay.
It will not have to be published.
Yep.
Could we actually vote on site?
You can vote on site if you want to. You used to do that.
Yeah.
Previously, you always left your meeting open, and then you went on site, saw what it looked like, and made the vote.
That works.
It's not really a meeting.
I don't think it's anyone's intention to inordinately inconvenience you. It is our intention. It's my intention. I think it's our intention to make sure that we make a decision based on facts and based on what the situation actually is in relationship to what we think it might be at some point. And this is exactly the same circumstance under which we did this the last time, where we had a fairly nebulous proposal and some moving targets. So
that's the one on Oak Park Drive.
So now, just to bring up Norm's point, we could have a special meeting like next week.
But it could be recorded. I mean, can it be recorded there?
We had
we'll bring a tape recorder.
Yeah, we had tape recorders.
Okay. So tonight, so when you'll say that you're adjourning while leaving case number so and so open for consideration.
A novel idea. I know we're looking at the Packers coming up at 8 o'clock, but on the way home, do we want to swing by, take a look at it?
We don't have the
recording device. Start recording what conversations take place. Lisa could not possibly do minutes for that type of a meeting.
Okay, let's ask him.
Set up the meeting.
Yeah, and we can do it. Doesn't have to be next month. It
She's
can
good.
Be,
She's not that.
Excuse me, next week. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Meet everybody's approval.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. As soon as you can arrange it,
I'll be calling.
Okay, so we can adjourn the meeting, and we'll leave case 11046 open at this point.
I believe Bill might have an announcement he'd like to make before you close this evening.
I'm going to be gone next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Okay. I've just got this 15-page speech to read.
I believe Bill doesn't have an
As you know, longtime board member Kathy McElhaney's last meeting was at the past meeting. Worked with the mayor, and a new board member has been appointed. Name is Bryce Johnson. She's an engineer with Missman Stanley and Associates. She's currently served for the last 2 years on the Building Board of Appeals, so she is familiar with city service. She former member of the Planning and Zoning Commission for Johnston, Iowa. She was appointed at Tuesday's meeting. She is president of the American Society of Civil Engineers, and she was chairing her last meeting tonight, so she could not be here at this first meeting, but she should be at the next meeting and many meetings to follow, so please welcome her when she...
What was her last name? Bryce what?
Bryce Johnson.
Johnston.
If she could be at Rolling Hills, that would be fine, too.
On Tanglefoot.
On Tanglefoot.
Yeah. I'll visit with her about that.
Okay.
So you'll be at full strength again.
Okay.
At the next meeting.
All right.
That's all I have.
Anything else?
Nothing further. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you.